Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I think today we're a parish that's in the tension of grief and rejoicing. These emotions travel side by side in our hearts when we experience the death, yet new life, of a member of our church family. Perhaps we are feeling those emotions even more over the last few months as we've said goodbye to three of our church family members in a very short time and are about to embark on yet another. Grief sits side by side with rejoicing when a Christian life is celebrated. Christians' lives that have brought honour to God. I reflect on those lives in light of today's gospel reading from Mark and the letter of James to the Christian church in Jerusalem. I remember hearing a story from the director of the Bush Church Aid Society, Mark Short, who said that while visiting Lightning Ridge, he saw a portrait of Fred Hulton Sams, better known as the Fighting Parson, a Cambridge graduate who ministered in West Queensland prior to the First World War. His outreach strategy was to visit the shearing sheds and challenged the men to put up their best fighter against him. If they won, they had to hear him preach. I wonder what you would be prepared to do to connect with others for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. James, in his letter, at the very beginning, signs himself in as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. His letter is to the Jews who had become Christians and had gathered for the Jewish festival in Jerusalem. His purpose was to break the yoke of legalism and to set free both Gentile and Jews. Jesus said to the Pharisees and some of the scribes in response to their criticism about not obeying tradition, he says, "Isaiah prophesied right about you as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Teaching human precepts as doctrine, you abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition.'" Like James, I'm going to use the practical approach here. James is about knowing your purpose in life, about acting out your life first and foremost for Jesus. It's about love in the Christian context. It's a love that can change the world, change lives, bringing others from darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Religion, as James says, that pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world, or as the Message Bible translation says, this kind of religion that observes tradition is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. Tom Wright, in his commentary on Mark's Gospel, says that the wider issue for Jesus and the Pharisees was who is offering a way of life which honours the God who spoke through Scripture. A good question, and perhaps one we should ask ourselves: who is offering a way of life which honours the God who spoke through Scripture? James also reminds us that what we hear in the holy places, like here at church, must be lived out in the marketplace, out in the community and the world, or there is no point in hearing it at all. He draws us to an ethical law which Christians must seek to put into action. That law is to be found in the commandments and in the teaching of Jesus. The Christian law is to love. Yes, even to love those we think that are unlovable. Religion, which the church only at the expense of neglecting its outside, the church, is not wrong, but simply empty unless it sends us out to love and serve. James says it's not enough to talk about Christian faith, that we have to live it in the light that comes from God. Now, in this season of the year, this spring season, which occurs for us in September, there's a celebration of recognising it as the season of creation, And so it is. We think of spring, we think of creation. As Susan Joy was in her last days, I could not help but notice the blossom buds on the prunus tree at Clare Holland House, bursting into colour, and the jonquils and daffodils resurrecting from the dark earth into the light and shining ever so bright. I saw the tension of life passing and continuing, with three men fishing at the edge of the lake, and I said to Susan Joy in a quiet conversation that we were having that it was like the Sea of Galilee. And she said yes, and profoundly she said, any moment I expect to see Jesus coming. As I was thinking about today's sermon, two names in particular came to mind in the forefront of many. And I want to stop here and put what I've been trying to say into the living context. Friday night, as I was reading the church bulletin online, I was greatly moved by what Richard Browning had to say on page 3. Under the heading of Something to Think About, his words were so meaningful, so powerful, and so beautiful. And I quote Richard in this article he titled Hallelujah. Thank you, Richard. He wrote, I come to church not to be deeply moved, but to be faithful, to see clearly the image in which I am made, and to be formed more truly in that likeness, Christ the Lamb. But I was truly moved at the 10 a.m. a few weeks ago. Tamara had died during the week and we were mourning her loss. Leonard Cohen's Alleluia was playing at the end. Some of you may well have been here at that time. And beautiful, mighty Brian, thank you, Brian, sobbing while he played. He hung on to Melinda. They're two of our Rainbow Fellowship members. Across love and love lost and love given but not returned. Alleluia. Across friendship and celebration and grief and loss and emptiness. Alleluia. As you know, that word, Alleluia, means praise God. The sacred is not owned or cornered or controlled by religion. Thank God. The sacred just is, and there are moments when we can be deeply conscious of the beauty, grace and dignity that is present within a time and place. Alleluia. We can be overwhelmed with sadness and still be singing. Alleluia. We can be numb with pain and loss and still sing Alleluia. As a people drawn to the glory of Almighty God, made known through Christ the Lamb, Alleluia. No part of our lives need to be unlived, unembraced, or avoided for fear of pain and loss. Alleluia. Last Sunday, Tobias updated the community here as where Susan Joy is at her journey with cancer. I was and still am deeply moved and moved by his and Susan Joy's heart and life that lived. Alleluia. Susan Joy was then welcoming death like a sister whose heart still sang Alleluia. Richard goes on to say that writing these words is easy. Seeing them lived is a privilege and transforms the human heart more into likeness of the one through whom we are made, Christ the Lamb. Thank you, Richard, for your insight, your vision and your beautiful words. To me, they wrapped around my sermon for today, saying what I wanted to say, but I couldn't find the words. Saying what James would say, it's about love, this thing called faith and belief, but also about the witness of it in action. I often reflect at this service about the diversity of the congregation before me. There are those who worship with her through Tamara's ministry. There are those with us who are here because of Brian's ministry. There are those here because of the ministry of Rainbow Fellowship and Covenant Care and from Susan Joy's ministry. And there are those here because of each and every one of us. What a wonderful blessing it is to see our doors are open to all who find us a place of welcome and embrace in the name of Jesus, fulfilling his command to love our neighbours as ourselves. You know, as I glance across the congregation, more noticeable here at the 10 a.m., I am reminded of the chorus I often sang And the words go like this: something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I have to offer him is brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. James said that we are to have respect for all people, poor or wealthy. Every person is an immortal soul and their life is sacred to God. In the first century, orphans and widows had very little means of economical support. By caring for these powerless people, the church put God's word into practice. Being saved by grace, we express our gratitude by serving Christ. When I think of this, I think of my fellow deacons and of Susan Joy's diaconal ministry. They're just a bunch of ordinary people doing extraordinary things in the name of Jesus, giving themselves in service for life, in gratitude of God's grace, and in total obedience to Jesus' command to love God and love our neighbour. Today's gospel concludes as Jesus turns away from the religious leaders to speak to all people. The matter under discussion is not a matter for theologians. External ritual can never make us holy. It's what is in our hearts that matters. For Jesus, the commandment of God led to life. When people get in the way, they squeeze out that life. Living in the light of Christ overflows into good works of all kind, not good works in order to gain some sort of approval by God, but works that flow because we have drunk deeply at the well of living water. I thank God. No, I praise God for all who shine their light for him. And to those who have gone before us, as we say, well done, good and faithful servants. Hallelujah.